Lesson 14, Crossing Cultures. Introduction. Ministry leadership is often cross-cultural because of the church's task to evangelize the world and because the spiritual unity of the church makes cross-cultural ministry possible. A person who serves in another culture is often considered a leader because of his training and status in the sending organization. Therefore, a person in cross-cultural ministry should study leadership. A definition of cross-cultural leadership. Leading cross-culturally is inspiring people who come from two or more cultural traditions to participate with you in building a community of trust, and then to follow you and be empowered by you to achieve a compelling vision of faith. Building a community of trust. First, build a community that shares life together, and then find the vision of what that community can accomplish. In a church planting effort, the community may be a small team before there is an established congregation. As a congregation develops, it should have all the aspects of the life of a church. For that to happen, the team will have to be purposeful about it. Especially if the team is made up mostly of foreigners, they must reject an us-and-them mentality. How is trust developed? This must be purposeful. It requires risk, some inevitable mistakes, and enough love and honesty to make corrections and build the relationship. If those do not exist in the relationship is shallow, and not much trust will be built. What does inspiring mean? It is more than creating positive feelings. It includes shaping attitudes and motivating actions. This requires both the content of beliefs and morale of the group members. A compelling vision of faith. For ministry leadership, the compelling vision will include the gospel, holy living, the church, and evangelism. Don't be too quick to assume how these will look in a new culture. Why is the word compelling used here? The vision described here comes with a biblical mandate that calls for commitment. This vision should inspire the group's members to deep commitment. Leading the way. The leader must model the life, starting with an inner circle of committed people, then expanding. He has to help create a group that demonstrates what the vision looks like in real life. Calling others to follow. He invites others to follow the vision. He does this in personal relationships, by mentoring individuals, by teaching, and by inviting people to take responsibility. Empowering those who follow. A true leader gives responsibilities to others. He accepts the risks, allows creativity, and creates opportunities for others in the group. Cultural views of promotion. In some cultures, a person is promoted to a position of leadership only after many years of faithful participation. Leaders in one culture said they needed to observe potential leaders for 10 years. In these cultures, it is difficult for a newcomer to move into high positions. Missionaries sometimes get frustrated when they are trying to fill a position that requires a special ability because the local leaders want to use someone who has proven himself and has been faithful for a long time instead of using a person who excels in the special ability. Arnold had worked as a missionary for years in a culture where a translator was just a person who did a job. Arnold always tried to get the person who could do the best job, even if he had not known the person very long. Now, Arnold was working in a culture where the position of translator was a high position in the organization. The leaders would allow only a translator whom they knew to be a faithful church member. Sometimes Arnold had to preach with a translator who could not do the job well, while a better translator was sitting in the congregation. Some cultures respect age and experience much more than education and talent. Missionaries often train young people because they are ambitious, ready to change, and easier to train than older people. However, in most cultures, churches will resist young leadership because that seems to disrespect the older leaders. Young leaders must be patient, helpful, and sensitive to the concerns of older leaders. Old leaders should try to release responsibility to the younger ones and allow the leadership team to expand. Cultural views of authority positions. How is a leader selected? How does a leader keep his position? There are two opposite cultural perspectives on the status of a leader. In one view, the leader is given his position because of his abilities and character. He may be elected by the people he leads. He continues to serve as leader because he leads well. He does not have absolute authority, but is accountable to some group. If he becomes physically unable to do the job, he is expected to resign. If he does not lead well, he may be replaced by an election. If he commits an immoral or dishonest act, he is not considered qualified to continue as a leader, especially in a Christian organization. In another kind of culture, the leader is given his position because he has been involved in the organization for a long time and is known to be loyal. He is appointed by a few who have authority. If there is an election, it is not real. People vote for the person they know is approved by the authorities. He eventually has almost total authority. He may listen to advice, but is never overruled in his decisions. After he has been leader for many years, his continued position does not depend on how well he leads. He is beyond most accountability and does not expect to answer questions about his actions. Even immoral or dishonest actions may not cause his removal. Even in old age or bad health, when he is unable to do the job, he may continue in the position even if he rarely fulfills any responsibilities. His followers will not remove him, except in extreme cases when he is totally discredited. In this culture, the transfer of power is not done peacefully except when the leader voluntarily passes the position to his chosen heir. If the group decides to remove the leader against his will, it may result in accusations, a refusal to cooperate, legal action, public conflicts, and the risk of dividing the organization. Sadly, ministry organizations have often followed the example of their culture and have badly damaged their Christian testimony. Frank Coy pastored a church for many years. In his old age, his health was bad. He moved to another city, and the church was served by three associate pastors. Francois continued to hold the position of pastor, even though he rarely went to church. Annas was high priest in Jerusalem. After he resigned, the new high priest was his son-in-law, Caiaphas. Annas continued to be the highest authority, though he held no official position. When Jesus was arrested, the soldiers first took him not to Caiaphas, but to Annas, John 18:12-13, 24. Missionaries from another culture sometimes struggle to understand the concept of authority in an organization. They don't understand why a person remains in a position of authority when he cannot do the job. They don't understand why boards and committees only follow the orders of the top leader. A leader serving in another culture must take time to learn how decisions are made in that culture. It is never enough just to get the majority to vote for something. Voting implies that every person's opinion is of equal value, which nobody really believes. Certain people have great influence throughout the organization, and their concerns must be satisfied before an organization will make a decision. Power distance. In some cultures, leaders try to build relationships with people at all levels of their organization. A factory owner might walk through the factory talking to the workers and trying to remember their names. A leader might help unload a truck or clean a building. In other cultures, the leader is considered distant from most of the people of the organization. They do not expect to talk to him directly. They would not think it appropriate for him to do any menial task. If he makes conversation with them, they might be pleased at the attention, or they might be uncomfortable. Duane Elmer was serving as president of a Bible college in a foreign country. One Saturday afternoon, he noticed that the grass had not been cut, so he did it himself. He thought that his action would model humility and impress the observers with his willingness to work. However, when the students and staff found out, they were upset. They said his action made people think that the school's authority structure was so weak that the president could not order anyone to cut the grass. It also implied that the organization was small and insignificant because the president had to do such a menial task. He tried to make things look better by standing outside looking authoritative as people worked. Visiting American missionaries were eating at a house where two women had been hired to cook. The missionaries insisted that the cooks sit at the table and eat with them. They argued until the women finally sat at the table, but the women were uncomfortable and ate almost nothing. Christian leaders working in another culture must carefully apply Christian principles in the culture. We know that worldly systems of status are not supposed to be followed in the church, Galatians 3:28. We are not to treat some people better than others because of their wealth or position, James 2:1-4. Jesus said that a leader should be willing to serve even in the lowest task, John 13:14-16. Jesus often surprised people when he did not follow customs about status, John 4:9, Luke 18:15-16. Missionaries should set an example of love and respect to all people and willingness to serve. However, they should sympathize with the legitimate concerns of people in a culture. They should show that they respect the established customs and will not cause disorder. Moses had the opportunity to become ruler of the most powerful nation in the world at the time, Egypt. Instead, he chose to identify with a nation of slaves, Hebrews 11:25. At the time of his decision, he did not know that God would make him one of the greatest leaders of all time. He would lead a nation of slaves to liberty, lead the nation through hostile territory for 40 years, give a system of laws that would influence all civilized nations afterward, and design the form of worship that lasted for centuries and prepared for Christianity. Moses' first great decision was to identify with the people of God, rejecting the false religions and sinful pleasures of Egypt. If he had made the wrong decision, he would never have been significant in the plan of God. Moses learned many lessons. He learned to listen to God before expecting people to listen to him. Though he was great, he was humble because of his dependence on God. His desire to know God, Exodus 33:18, qualified him to speak for God. He insisted that Israel could do nothing without the presence of God, Exodus 33:15. He knew that his leadership was not for the purpose of glorifying himself. Moses loved the people he led. At one time, God threatened to destroy the people for their sin, offering to make Moses a great leader of other people. Moses said that he would rather be judged in Israel's place than to be a great leader without them. Exodus 32:32. If a leader can easily leave his people for a position somewhere else, he does not have the heart of a leader like Moses. Individual goals and rewards. Americans tend to assume that individual rewards and honors are the best incentives so that a person can earn them with his own efforts. However, many cultures believe that the rewards of achievement belong to the group. They may resent and hinder a person who tries to achieve goals alone. They do not want individual achievement to be honored. The Japanese have a saying, "The nail that sticks up will get pounded down." It means that a person should not try to get attention for himself instead of working with the group. A leader working in another culture needs to understand that culture's view of goals and rewards. Maybe rewards should be offered to groups who can achieve the goals like a team. Avoiding cultural conquest. Often, the gospel was not taken to a new culture in a way that showed respect for that culture. The gospel was communicated as a message from a superior culture with cultural details attached. For many evangelized people, responding to the gospel meant that they also surrendered to the foreign culture. The term cultural conquest is useful. Cultural conquest does not mean merely that a culture has borrowed elements from another. Cultural conquest occurs when many people see a foreign culture as superior to their own and try to follow it. The youth especially try to imitate the foreign culture in dress, speech, and values. Young people aspire to roles that did not exist before, such as the job of translator, so they can work with the new leaders. In an environment where a culture is being taken over by another, former positions of power and influence are weakened. In rapidly changing environments, youth have an advantage and respect for age declines. Old customs are rejected by the younger generation. The youth have little interest in the history and cultural symbols of their people because they have lost respect for their own culture. Missionaries do not have the option of preventing cultural conquest unless they are the first foreigners to impact the original culture. In most places, foreign commercial interests have already started cultural conquest. Unfortunately, many missionaries have participated in cultural conquest, carrying it over into the church. The task of missions is to plant indigenous expressions of the biblical church. An indigenous church is self-supporting, self-governing, and self-propagating. Indigenous development is hindered by policies laid down from afar, introduction and continuation of foreign traditions, expatriate leadership, alien decision-making processes, manipulative use of money. Foreign missionaries often come with resources and equipment that the national leaders do not have. A missionary involved in church planting should not be the pastor of the new church. If a missionary is the first pastor, his spending and giving create a role that a national pastor will not be able to fill. The missionary should always be seen as a foreigner who is filling a unique temporary role. He should give extra training to local people who show spiritual growth and commitment, and one of them should pastor the new church. Local pastors should be supported by the local people and by their own work if necessary. If they are supported by foreigners, the local congregation will never see its financial responsibility or accountability. They will think the church belongs to the foreign organization and not to them. This concludes Lesson 14, Crossing Cultures.